And this particular key was, he never sought to impress. He never sought to impress. One thing about it is your motive needs to be right whenever you're preaching the Word of God. You shouldn't preach, obviously, for filthy lucre. I mean, that money, it's not saying that the pastor shouldn't be paid. He should be. But that's not the driving force behind his ministry. So he, as a matter of fact, Paul, he was compensated by a lot or by some churches, but he'd also made tents to support his ministry. So he didn't have the type of ministry that was money driven. I mean, it wasn't about that for him. His main goal, as we're going to see tonight, was to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, and where he wasn't named that, he went into areas that never had heard of him. And of course, I tell you folks, the Lord really blessed his ministry. But he never sought to impress. He not only didn't preach for filthy lucre, but he didn't preach for the purpose of impressing people. His motive was to please the Lord. And that is the most important thing whenever you have a ministry or in your service to the Lord. He said it in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, let me go ahead and find this, because I sometimes get 1 and 2 Timothy mixed up. So I want to find this verse for you, 2 Timothy chapter 2. So, yeah, I was right. So here's what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says in verse 4, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that chose him to be a soldier. Well, certainly the Apostle Paul was said to be a chosen vessel unto the Lord, and he wasn't motivated by seeking to please people. He sought to please his God. He wanted to please him that chose him to be a soldier. So he didn't preach to impress. And that's one of the things that he did. He mentions in this particular text, he says, brethren, when I come to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Now, certainly Paul had wisdom. Certainly he did have it. And in chapter 2 and verse 7, he says, but we speak even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world ever began. So Paul had wisdom, but he didn't preach for the purpose of trying to impress you with what he knew. And when he says he didn't come with excellency at speech, it means he didn't try to impress people by how he spoke. I think you'd be surprised if you brought the Apostle Paul down to the day and have him, and hear him preach. I think you'd be surprised at his speaking ability. I don't think that he was a what we would call a flashy preacher or an orator, a great orator. I don't think he was either one of those things. The Apollos was. Acts 18:24 says Apollos, he had a gift of being able, excellency of speech, but Paul didn't have it. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, for his letters say that they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. And the idea of contemptible was of no account. They never looked upon him as being some flashy orator or some flashy speaker. So he never sought to impress people with his ability to speak or with his wisdom. Indeed, that wasn't what drove him and wasn't the key to his ministry. So I think you got to have the right motive when you preach. And sometimes if you're not careful, you'll seek to speak to please people, or you'll seek to speak to impress people. And what we need to be concerned with is presenting the plain truth of the Word of God, and our motive being that God would be glorified through it. And I think that was the type of man that the Apostle Paul was. And I think that was one of the keys to his ministry. He never sought to impress with his wisdom, nor did he seek to impress with his speech. have a saying that I had wrote down in my notes. I can't remember where I got it. It says this: the best preaching is not man's opinions, not long worded discourses displaying your schooling, but bearing witness in a plain, simple fashion to what God says in His book. Let me read it again. The best preaching is not man's opinion, not long, big-worded discourses displaying your schooling, but bearing witness in a plain, simple fashion to what God says in His book. So it wasn't the purpose of His purpose wasn't to impress. He never did. So that's why He says, "I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." He says in verse 4, "My speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." So again, he acknowledges the fact that it wasn't his speaking ability. When you look back at the great ministry that he had and the great ministry that he still has to even down to the day, but if you could go back to that day, the key to it was that he wasn't motivated on impressing people, that he was motivated on pleasing the Lord. C.S. Spurgeon was a great preacher of the 1800s. I love to read about him. His 1834 through 1882 was his life. And he was a famous preacher. He preached in England at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. He was a Baptist preacher, and he was saved at a young age, and he tells about his salvation, but the man that presented the gospel to him wasn't even a regular preacher, and the message that he delivered wasn't a very good styled message either. And I want to read it to you, and again, you can see that the conversion of Spurgeon was done by the Holy Spirit's power, which is going to be the second key we're going to talk about here in a little bit. But the guy that presented the message really wasn't, we don't even know his name. I don't even know his name down to the day. But the Lord used what little bit he said to be a blessing. So let me go ahead and read this to you in this particular book that I have with me here. It says that he went, it was a snowy day, and he wasn't able to go to the regular church that he normally went to. He went to, I think it was two different churches, and their doors were shut. So he was unable to attend church. Finally found one that was open, and then he went in and attended. Wasn't hardly nobody there. The regular preacher wasn't there. But let me read it to you. "You have often heard me tell how I've been wondering about seeking rest and finding none, till a plain, unlettered lay preacher stood up in the pulpit and gave out this passage of his text." Now, the passage they read was Isaiah 45:22, which says this: "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." And he stood in the pulpit and he gave out this passage as his text. He had not much to say, thank God, for that compelled him to keep on repeating his text. And there was nothing needed by me, at any rate, except his text. I remembered how he said, "It is Christ that speaks. I'm in the garden in agony, pouring out my soul unto death. I'm on the tree, dying for sinners. Look unto me. Look unto me." That is all you have to do. A child can look. One who is almost an idiot can look. However weak or however poor a man may be, he can look. And if he looks, the promise is that he shall live. In stopping, he pointed to where I was sitting under the gallery, and he said, "That young man there looks very miserable." I expect I did, for that is how I felt. Then he said, "There is no hope for you, young man, or any chance of getting rid of your sin, but by looking to Jesus." And he shouted, "Look, look, young man, look now." And that day he said, "I did look." Well, we don't know that man's name, but we know C.H. Spurgeon's name. His ministry also was one of the greatest ministries in history. Thousands or millions of people have heard the gospel, even down to the day, through the written word that he left behind. But his conversion was a no-name lay preacher that the Lord used. It wasn't his oratory. It wasn't his wisdom. But it was just a simple presentation of a text, Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. So friends, that's one key to Paul's ministry. One key to his ministry is he never preached to impress. He didn't try with excellency of speech or his wisdom. He just presented the word. And his motive was right. His motive was the glory of God, not to impress people. Always remember that. Number two, the second key to the Apostle Paul's ministry was he preached Christ crucified. And that's what you see in verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, he stresses this so far. We've seen it in chapter 1. Let's go back. He mentions it there. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, and to us which are saved is the power of God. So he preached the cross. Look at verse 23 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. We preach Christ crucified. So he's stressing the fact that that was the message that he preached. And of course, that's God's salvation message. Christ crucified. We're saved. Of course, that was one of the stumbling blocks for the Jews, was being that the Messiah would be crucified, that the Old Testament scriptures pointed to that. In the sacrifice system, it pointed to the sacrificial death of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. It pointed to that. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53, showed that the Messiah would suffer and our sins would be laid on him. So, the scriptures taught that Messiah would be crucified. And the reason he was crucified was for our sins. That's why he died. And of course, that's what the gospel message is. It's the preaching of the cross, preaching that he died on the cross for sinners. And of course, he arose again the third day. Without the resurrection, his death wouldn't mean anything. You have to have the combination. So when you preach the cross, you always preach the resurrection. That's a part of the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15 says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, have you not many fathers? For in Christ Jesus, here's Paul's talking about those that were saved at Corinth. He said, I've begotten you through the gospel. And the gospel message is the power of God to salvation to everyone that trusts it. Let me say that one more time. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. Indeed, that is a true statement, is it not? But you have to trust it. You have to trust it. And the Lord saves those that trust it. Of course, the message of the gospel, what's so great about 1 Corinthians? And I mentioned this many times in this radio broadcast. But 1 Corinthians contains the definition. The Apostle Paul received the gospel by special revelation. He wasn't taught the gospel by any man, according to Galatians chapter 1. But he received the gospel directly from the Lord Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 15 defines what's contained in the message. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, I'll read this grand text again. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And he says, this which I preach, this is the message that I preach, which I preached unto you, which ye have received, wherein you stand. Now, how the gospel saves you is when you receive it, when you trust it, when you put your hope in it. He goes on to say and defines it. It says in verse 2, by which ye are saved. You're saved when you receive the gospel. Folks, I hope you've done that. But to receive the gospel, you got to know what it is. And here's the definition. He said, I delivered unto you that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins. Now, you notice it says he received it. Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. See, didn't die for his sins. He had none. He died for our sins. That's why he came. In the book of Matthew chapter 1, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So he died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And he was buried. 3 days he was in a tomb. He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Folks, that's the gospel. That's the power of God, the salvation to everyone that believes it. He preached Christ crucified. That's what he preached. So there's two keys we've seen, three keys to Paul's ministry. We've seen two so far. Number one, he never sought to impress. That's not what motivated him. He didn't try to impress people with his speaking ability or anything of that nature. Matter of fact, the Bible says his speech was contemptible. I mean, he wasn't known for his flowery speaking ability. He wasn't a great orator. But yet, his ministry was blessed because the focus of it was Christ crucified. Well, let's go to the third key now. The third key to Paul's ministry. And it's seen also here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's go ahead and read verse 4. It says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words, persuadable words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Well, the third key to Paul's ministry is that he depended on the Holy Spirit's power, not his oratory ability, not his own strength, not any human means as far as able to persuade people. He presented the message, and then he depended on the power of the Spirit to convict and to call the sinner. That's the keys. And that's the key to any ministry, really. You don't seek to, that's not your motive, to impress people that are listening to you. Your motive is to please the Lord and to present the message in a way that is understandable. He preached Christ crucified. Of course, now he preached other things. After someone was saved, they would teach the whole counsel of God. I mean, that's the purpose of having the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul wrote over half of it. It's filled with doctrine, which means Bible teaching. But he was a missionary. And when he'd go into these different missionary journeys, and he went on three, you can count, actually maybe even four if you count when he was sent to Rome, whenever he was arrested. But his main goal was to preach Jesus where he wasn't named, and he would preach Christ crucified. And he would depend then on the power of the Spirit of the living God to touch people. Now, folks, people try to substitute for the power of the Spirit. And they try to work people up, and they have different techniques for trying to work people up. And many times emotion and is used to represent the Spirit, but not necessarily. The Holy Spirit works through the preaching of His Word. That's how he works. He authored this book. In many places, the Word of God is being pushed completely out, and the focus is more on entertainment and fleshly things, as opposed to being focused on the Word of God and the power of the Spirit of God. Folks, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts the sinner. It's the Holy Spirit that gives that inward call that makes that old dead sinner alive. You see, before we were saved, we were dead in sins. Dead. No spiritual life there. And the Holy Spirit quickened us, and He makes us alive. Now notice in the text, let's read on. My time's going fast away. It says in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 2, but as is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, most generally, that's a verse of Scripture that you hear read by itself. And often they pull it completely out of its context. Always look at a text in its context first. And you can make applications from it, but you need to get the context first. Well, this verse is in a context. It says, I have not seen or ear heard the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But listen to verse 10. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. And, of course, when you look at the New Testament, many of those things that God has prepared for us, those things are revealed in the New Testament. You go to the book of Revelations, it reveals heaven to you. It talks a lot. The epistles speak much of heaven and it's Christ coming. And it reveals what the Lord has prepared for us. So when you read verse 9, read verse 10 with it. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches the things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, save the Spirit of God, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us from God. So, he would depend on the Holy Spirit. And those teachings of the New Testament, he received them from the Lord, he penned them down, and that came from the Holy Spirit, and then he would teach people these great truths and depend upon the Holy Spirit to open their mind. Now here it mentions, let me read something else in our text here, verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now I want you to think about that just for a little bit. The natural man, that's just man apart from the Spirit. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, what's spiritually discerned there is the Scriptures. And the idea of that is that in order to understand, you must have the Spirit. And you must have the Spirit give the discernment of the Scriptures. And I can remember, and you probably can remember a time when you considered spiritual things foolishness. And those that followed those things, foolishness. That was until the Holy Spirit touched your heart. In the book of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, it says that he hath given us an understanding to know him that is true. Only the Spirit can do that. I preach, but I can't make somebody alive. I can't make someone alive physically, and I certainly can't make someone alive spiritually either. But the Holy Spirit can. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it talks about our condition before we are saved. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants of Jesus. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. He shined in our hearts. Now, before that, what was our condition? It says in verse 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 and 4, what if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, as the image of God, should shine to him. Sometimes people will say when they leave a church service, they'll say, I don't know how that person can sit in this service and not get saved. Well, I can tell you why that is. They're blinded. They won't be able to see until the Holy Spirit opens their eyes. The writer of Amazing Grace knew that when he wrote in the great hymn, Amazing Grace, John Newton wrote, I was blind. Now I see. So the things of the Lord, the natural man, he's not going to see those on his own. He's not going to understand those things on his own. Those things are foolishness unto them because those things are spiritually discerned. You have to have the discernment given to you, the understanding given to you by the Holy Spirit. So it takes the Spirit's power to convict the sinner. And that's what you got to trust in, not your ability to persuade, not your ability to show it. But you study hard and you present the messages, but you do it knowing that it takes the Holy Spirit to give the understanding. He hath given us an understanding to know him is true. And the Holy Spirit's the one that does that. Folks, that's the keys to Paul's ministry. He never sought to impress was the first key. The second key is he preached Christ crucified. And then the third key is he depended on the power of the Spirit of the living God. Folks, that's the key to a successful ministry. We shouldn't use the ways of the world to try to get people, and you can, if that's what you want to do. But it doesn't work that way. If you want a genuine, true ministry, it's a blessing to the Lord. You do it the same way He did. You preach Christ crucified, and you depend on the Spirit's power to convict and to draw and to save. Folks, this has been Good Oak Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight.